Our help and our only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 88, stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Psalm 88, stanzas 1, 2, and 7. scripture reading in this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the book of Genesis chapter 28. But first we will confess our faith by the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram, unto Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Paddan Aram, to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took off the stones of that place to put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. O Lord, we have read about Jacob's flight from the presence of his father because of Esau's wrath, and that we may discover that we are the same deceivers like Jacob, because man is flesh and flesh cannot please thee. O Lord, lead us in the scripture by the light of the Holy Spirit, that we may see that Christ became flesh. He became flesh in the flesh of Jacob, and teach us what it means that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, thou hast given thy Son to this world, because thou hast loved the world so much, because thou hast thy elected church in the world, which thou wilt bring to the knowledge of Christ by regeneration and justification. O Lord, that is what with Jacob happened in Bethel. And open the scripture to thy glory and for our salvation, that we may understand not only the history, but that we receive an application of that same salvation that Jacob received in Bethel. That we may understand the truth, thy ways and thy providence by reconciliation of all our sin. Lord, be with the sick and afflicted, be with Bernard, O Lord, that I may do his work again. Be with the little children and the unborn life. Increase thy kingdom among us in the glorification of thy dear Son. O Lord, we must decree, we must decrease, but he must, the Lord Jesus must increase. And give us humiliated grace, because we are so high-minded, also after grace received. Be with thy church worldwide, send workers in thy vineyard to preach the law with the authority and the gospel unconditionally, so that a blind heathen will come to the knowledge of salvation. O Lord, we pray for thy people, the Jews. Fulfill thy promise concerning the promised conversion of the Jews. That's in thy word, promised. Be with us in speaking and listening, in the forgiveness of all our sins. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. And as a preparation for the preaching congregation, we will sing together Psalm 51, the stanzas 2 and 4. Psalm 51, stanzas 2. All my transgression do I know within, and all my sin is constantly before me. The stanzas 2 and 4, Psalm 51.
Yes.
Sermon in the morning, but just in the English language for a better understanding for some of our hearers, and therefore this sermon will be more or less a live translation of the morning sermon. Beloved, in the worship service this morning, we have heard that Jacob the deceiver was on the run because he fled for his brother Esau's wrath. For Rebecca has said to Jacob, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, comforts himself that he will kill thee. And now, my son, hearken to my voice, and arise, flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran." And after Isaac had blessed Jacob again and sent him away to Haran to get the wife there, then we read, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran." Now there he went into the solitude of the wilderness. And darkness came down in Jacob's heart, for it says the sun was set. And that meant to Jacob there was not only darkness in nature, but also darkness in his heart. For about the beams of the Son of Righteousness Jacob had heard in the tent of his father and mother. And beloved, if you don't know that sun, you don't know either what it means spiritually, because the sun was set. And by nature we are blind to the light of the Son of Righteousness. And an unregenerated man is blind to the Son of Righteousness. He cannot see it because he is blind. However, Jacob had heard much of that Son of Righteousness through the testimony of his father and his mother. Now, beloved children in our midst, how privileged you are if you may have such a father and such a mother as Jacob had. For they both fear the Lord. And at home Jacob had been in church more than once. And there the ways of the Lord were spoken of. And there Jacob had been taught about the divine things. But now Jacob had to flee. Jacob's life was in danger through his own fault, because he had deceived his father and misused the name of the Lord. And now Jacob was on the run. Well, beloved, that is a fearful way, mind you, having to live through your own guilt before God, and man, and the avenger of blood after you. That has a spiritual meaning in this story, because also for Jacob, because the law is hunting after sinners since our deep fall in Adam. The law is a killer, an avenger of blood. And Esau, in this case, Esau was an avenger of blood to his brother. Therefore, Jacob had to escape for his life. And look, there he goes, fleeing from the presence of his angry brother. But that was not only the reason he left his parents, no. For it was also at his father's command that he had left to get himself a wife from the daughters of Laban, the brother of his mother Rebekah, who lived in Haran. And Isaac had sent his son away and blessed him again with a temporal and spiritual blessing. For it says in chapter 28, verse 4, we have read, "And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." So the Lord, by the mouth of Jacob, by the mouth of Isaac, blessed his son Jacob with the blessing of Abraham. And what the blessing of Abraham is, we can read it in the previous chapter. Just look back. Now there Jacob went alone, and his path lead through the desert, through the wilderness. Yeah, you could say that, and telling from his circumstances, this was the case. But then we read, listen, "And he lighted upon a certain place." Now, you can say that is normal. No, that was divine providence. That was not mere coincidence. There is no such a thing like coincidence. For it was providence. Divine providence. And God's people who may have a life dependent to God's providence, and nothing comes as coincidence. And then it may happen, people of God, that you get to a place you had not expected at all. Man has no control over himself. No. For it says, "The heart of man deviseth his way, but the Lord directed his steps." You remember? And that's what happened to Jacob. He arrived at a place where he had to stay for the night. And he had to pass the night there, for the sun had set. And that was a place of gloom and darkness. And Jacob had to experience this. And by nature, but also after saving grace, the sun, we shun those places. For we had rather walk in the light, don't we? Well, superficial religion does. For they always walk in the light of Jesus. But they have never yet been in the darkness of their own existence. Yeah. Superficial religion doesn't know anything of this. Oh yes. They can tell God's tried people when they have to go into and through darkness. And do you know what they say then? You should look unto Jesus. You must believe. You must accept him. You must. Yeah. They know how it must be, eh? But when you ask them how it goes, yeah, they don't know what to say anymore. But do you know what a miracle it is, beloved? God's true people get completely stuck in their self-made religion. For then all your would-be religion ends in darkness. And how must one go on then? How? Now Jacob cannot go on, for the sun has set. Now there he stands, a couple of steps, and he can't see a thing anymore. But do you know what was granted to Jacob? He was granted to lie down, flat on the ground before God. He lay his head on a stone. Yeah, if you have died to the law, beloved, then you have laid your head on the block willingly, with a rope of self-condemnation around your neck. Look, would-be religion always flees away from God when one comes into distress. But Jacob is counted worthy to lie down at that spot before God as a lost sinner. And actually, there is no way for him to go. For God had hatched up his way with thorns. Do you know what I mean? And Jacob was come to the end of his ways, to his very dead end. And there is nothing left, no help, and no escape. And all unprotected, lo, I stand, no friendly garden at my hand, no place of flight, of refuge near, and none to whom my soul is dear. Yeah, that was what Jacob has to complain. Yeah, but there the path he took was known to God, for it says, And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now look, it is all about Christ. About Christ it says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Now Jacob may yet have found a stone for his head, but Christ has none of it. And there he lies like a hunted animal. Yeah. But the Lord can change a stone in an altar, because that cold stone became an Ebenezer to Jacob. Yeah, but we aren't yet there. And for Jacob dreamt a dream. And that dream of Jacob is a very special dream. Not because of Jacob, no. And not all of dreams are deceptive, no. God can speak to his people by a dream. And that still happens, but always, listen, always in the framework of the scriptures. Otherwise, dreams has no value, no spiritual value. But sometimes God can speak to his people by a dream. Oh yeah? No. What was the dream of Jacob? Listen. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold the angels ascending and descending on it. Now that's quite something, isn't it? Because it says the angels went up and down. Now normally they should have to go down and back up. But they went up and down. So there is a divine secret in this dream. That going up and down of the angels points to the righteousness of faith. And I will read it for you in Romans 10, verse 6 through 10. Listen. And there it says, but the righteousness of faith speak thus. Do not say in thine heart, who shall ascend to the heavens, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into abyss, that is to bring up Christ from among the dead. But what says it? The word is near thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. That is what it says in Romans 10, verse 6 through 10. That points to the ladder of Jacob. The ladder of Jacob is a type of righteousness of faith, because faith starts not in heaven, but in the heart of a sinner. Faith ascends to God and is connected with God. Now the connection is the ladder, and it points to Christ by faith. Christ is the mediator between God and man. And Christ was on top of the ladder. It says, it is written in the word. Christ was on top of the ladder, and he is also the cause of faith, of a living faith. The angels ascended and descended on that ladder. Now the angels are a type of the Holy Spirit, of the work of the Holy Spirit. There was not only a ladder, no. For it says, and behold, the angels ascending and descending on it. Jacob didn't climb on that ladder. No, the angels did. And there are always people who talk about faith, but never ever happens. They have only a ladder faith, so to say. But not a living faith. Now here at Bethel, beloved, Jacob received a living faith in God, and Bethel was for him the spiritual city of freedom in Christ. So, because the avenger of blood was after him. But Jacob, he got an escape in Bethel. The freedom in the city of freedom in Christ. So the angels went up and down. Because the Holy Spirit carries the need of a lost soul up to God. Now, the angels don't need a ladder for themselves. No, because angels don't live by faith, but by observation. Isn't that true? On earth, God's people live by faith, and the Lord serves his people by the ladder of faith through his Spirit. By a living faith, the Holy Spirit is in it. The Holy Spirit is the second comforter on the earth. And the Lord Jesus is the first comforter, who connected heaven and earth. And God in Christ is on top of that ladder of Jacob. So, the Holy Spirit ascends faith to heaven, to God. For it says, and in like manner the Spirit joins also it help to our weakness. For we don't know what we should pray for as is fitting, but the Spirit itself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit goes up and down on the ladder of faith. He has his place of living in the hearts of God's people, but he is also present in heaven. Now the angels went up and down, and the Lord stood on the top of the ladder. True faith is a living faith and connected with God. So there is always, Luther says, if a living faith, there is always something happen. Something happens. True faith is a living faith and connected with God. That going up and down of the angels, that is against human understanding. I cannot explain that. Faith, you cannot explain that. No. It is a case of experience. And by nature, man cannot understand the divine things. Why? Well, an application of grace in Christ is always an eternal wonder. And beloved, if it has never been a wonder in your life, you cannot count yourself to the people of Jacob, to the people of God, no. There in that thick darkness, heaven was opened to Jacob. And that must have been something, quite something for Jacob. Don't you think so, beloved? Jacob had an open entrance to the throne of grace. Try to imagine that. Through fault of your own, you would land at a certain place, and God pays you a soul-saving visit. Now that is undeserved. That is undeserved salvation, isn't it? For in that place of judgment, yeah, you are not worthy so much, eh? And then the Lord cannot do anything bad to you. On that place in Bethel, the Lord cannot do anything bad to Jacob. No. And when heaven opened to such a one, to such a monster, well, it must have been an eternal wonder to Jacob. And we can speak about these things, but it is a matter of experience. And beloved, beseech God often for discovering light, for discovering grace. For if we don't have a proper realization of our darkness, then there is no room for the gospel. No room of free grace, for the free grace. No. And Jacob dreamt, and behold, the Lord said, I am the Lord God thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Yeah, God's people may lay down on the ground, and God speaks words of salvation. A speaking God in Christ is a true sign of regeneration and justification. Bethel is a type of justification. And in that framework, God speaks the sinner free in Christ. That's justification. And the covenant made in days of old with Abram, God does uphold. The covenant with Abram, his friend, will be established by the Lord from generation to generation. From Abram to Isaac, and from Isaac to Jacob, and his seed. And beloved, that always takes place in the way of a miracle. No man can organize that. No man can organize grace. No man. And the revelation of God in his dream, Jacob hadn't known beforehand. But the Lord says more, and he confirms the covenant blessing with the covenant promise. He says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So Jacob may live on Christ's account and for his responsibility. Yeah. That looks like a new doctrine in our days, but that is a privilege for all God's people, beloved. They lived on Christ's account and for his responsibility. And the same happened to the disciples of the Lord Jesus as well. Yeah, they have been blessed through the administration of Christ's offices. And Christ sealed that blessing with the covenant promise. In Matthew 28, verse 20, and lo, I am with you always,
It says every day, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that covenant promise was joined with an oath. The word amen means it shall truly and certainly be. Now, if the amen says amen, it is a double oath. Because Christ is the amen. And the amen says amen. Then it shall truly and certainly be. It is the same truth as God the Father seals the covenant grace, the covenant of grace in Isaiah 54. For it says there, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. It's the same. The same oath. Look, there are always people who want to push God's work into a system. First that and then that. If you have some experience of your misery, then you are regenerated, but not yet justified. And when you know Christ, maybe you come to the knowledge of Christ, maybe not. But you are regenerated, or because you have some misery, knowledge of misery, an experience of misery. But when it happens, it will be it is a miracle, but when you know Christ, they said, then the arrow lies away beyond. And because, you are not justified either. But beloved, do you know what that is, that doctrine? That is a doctrine of thesis. That has nothing to do with the sovereign work of salvation. Nothing. The work of grace may be varied, it is true, but respectfully speaking, God doesn't have a human system of promotions like we hear in our days. No. Oh no. God is a God of order, that is true, but God's order is not applied until all it chaos with us. Justification takes place in our judgment when we don't count on it. Look to Jacob. That human order of ours must be vanished, for Jacob didn't know beforehand, mind you. He cries out, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. That means I knew it not beforehand. And he never thought at all that God might visit him with such a divine revelation of salvation, no. Look, superficial religion knows everything long beforehand, but without having ever experienced it. This kind of religion help itself with doing this and leaving that. And they have been saved without getting lost. But Jacob says, I knew it not beforehand. So, it was an eternal wonder that God reveals himself in Christ to him. And actually Jacob says, it was a lost case for me. But it pleased God to reveal himself to me. But I never expected this. I knew it not. And he rejoiced with fear and said, how dreadful is this place? And this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. But beloved, before you know the gate of heaven, you have some experience with the gate of hell. And then the Lord Jesus reveals himself to our soul that takes place in the darkness before the gate of hell in the darkness of our existence.
Yeah, then that is not a maybe anymore. Eh?
Because the word teaches the assurance of faith. That's not a maybe. Eh? That is sure, that is certain.
And here Jacob was willing to build a church, eh?
With the abundance of thy house, we shall be satisfied from rivers of an unfailing joy.
And our thirst shall be supplied, and this is the gate of heaven, the glorious gates of righteousness. Throw open unto me, and I will enter with, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord, my God, to thee.
Now that will be, that have been Jacob's son. So there in that dreadful place the Lord appeared of old to Jacob, for God have loved him with an everlasting love. And not only Jacob, but all the elected church. God have loved them with an everlasting love. And then, what did Jacob then? Then Jacob took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon of the top, on the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel.
Bethel means house of God.
Now here Jacob had a good hearing in church, and he had received salvation while asleep. For it says, God gives his beloved in the sleep.
Now beloved, what did Jacob do for his salvation?
What?
Which step has Jacob set to get reconciliation?
Which step?
Yeah. According to the hard cry religion of our days, you have to make a step in the right direction, because they say the Lord has made the first step, and for that reason man has to react on it. We have to react, they say.
Yeah. But beloved, that is the co-op trading of the Armenian business. But that religion ends in hell.
Now, Jacob was set in freedom of faith in spite of Jacob. Jacob lay down before the gate of hell. And look, God opens to him a gate of heaven.
That is always the way.
That is salvation. That is the gospel. And God is a God who justifies the ungodly without the works of the law. And Jacob lay down unconverted as a lost sinner. But then the Lord appeared to him from far times and far places. I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
Yeah, Jacob was set in the gratitude. And the only thing he had was some oil. And all he had, he poured on the altar, like the widow did in putting all her money in the treasure chest of the temple.
Yeah.
If God has your heart, beloved, then he has also your pocket. Then you give him not something of no. Then God has your heart and soul and whole your being. Once I have heard about the converted whore, and that her house was burned down. And when she came home, she threw the rest of her money in the fire, with the praise of Job on her lips. She says, Jehovah gave, Jehovah has taken away, blessed be the name of Jehovah.
Now that is true thankfulness.
But we cannot imitate it, no. Gratitude is not afraid of our own field. That is the applying work of the Almighty High Priest Christ himself.
So, the oil Jacob poured on the erected pillar was meant to be a thanksgiving to the Lord, for his token of his favor and faithfulness so that he showed that he consecrated it to the Lord, according, that can you read in the marginal notes, just check it. When God promises, then the church believes, and then the church glorifies and promises as well, with a broken heart. Broken hearts are in thy sight more than sacrificial right. Yeah. And that's what Jacob wanted to give to the Lord, with a broken heart and with a promise. That means when the Lord will have fulfilled his promise to him, the Lord shall be his God. And there at Bethel, beloved, Jacob promises to the Lord that in that place he would call upon the name of the Lord in the assembly of his people. Now, first we will sing together in the assembly of his people, Psalm 105, verse 3 and 4. Psalm 105, verse 3. And he is the Lord our God, unfailing, his judgment everywhere prevailing. He will remember and uphold his covenant made in days of old. And what follows? Stanzas 3 and 4, Psalm 105.
Our God and faith.
prophet in battle, Jacob wanted to honor God. Do you understand that? That's the fruit of receiving grace. And he would give the tenth of all that he would have received, that he promised to the Lord. And that man, that Jacob, would devote, had the tenth part of all that he would have received to the upkeep of public worship and benevolence to the needy. And the Lord had taken Jacob's heart, and therefore God had all his possessions. Yeah. When God has taken your heart, beloved, then he also has your pocket, everything. And when Jacob meets Esau, sometimes after, and then Jacob may say, "I have all." And Esau would say, "I have much." But Jacob has God, and that is all, you know. Oh, beloved, you may be as rich as the rich man in the parable of the poor Lazarus, but he who had much like Esau perished forever in spite of all his property. But Lazarus had all, like Jacob. Yeah, he had nothing in this world, that's true. But Lazarus had all in God. That's salvation. Not what I have, but that God is our salvation. That's God himself. And the living church has her inheritance in heaven, beloved. And their God preserve the treasure for them. Yeah. And here they may enjoy it through faith presently, but then it will be face to face. And then believing becomes beholding. Yeah? Here is not a land of rest, no. Here the church is militant. And the church triumphant is above, is in heaven. There's one church. That church is one in Christ. But sometimes they may have fellowship with each other. The church in heaven and the church on earth. Yeah. But for that fellowship, that ascension mercy is necessary. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Ascension mercy. Then you have your walk in heaven. And Jacob was granted to be exercised somewhat with it. Peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Jacob, however, he still lived in a kingdom that can be shaken. And you can see that in his when he is in Laban. A kingdom can be shaken. What is the solution of a kingdom that can be shaken? That is Penuel. But Jacob was established in Christ at battle. Or do you think that Jacob had not received peace with God in battle? Some people think with their systematic conversion that before Penuel, Jacob had no peace with God. And that before Easter, the disciples didn't know of peace with God either. But that is unbiblical. One doesn't get peace with God on the foundation of Penuel. Penuel is not a matter of salvation, but a matter of trial for true believers. The church receives peace with God in Christ through faith. Only through faith. But little faith has this peace not often in exercise. But it isn't a matter of a great faith or a little faith, but whether we have a true saving faith. That's the point. And Christ says before Easter that his disciples have followed him in regeneration. Do you hear it? In regeneration. And in the Paschal room he says to them, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." So, that's justification.
Regeneration and justification take place in one moment, in the same moment.
Yeah.
However, before Pentecost, the disciples missed the zeal of the Spirit. But what matters in respect to eternal salvation? What the disciples experienced of it? Or what they thought of it? Or what people said about it? Or what Christ has said? What? We need not doubt this. But we need to experience this. Look, when you are in a kingdom that can be shaken, you secretly make your experience your foundation, and then you still know how to add. Eh? You can count.
Yeah.
But the established people in Christ didn't want to put any weight to their experience, however necessary they may be, in order to make the cross of Christ conditional. For the gospel of free grace is unconditional for the chief of sinners, also after receiving grace.
Yeah.
And that is the real comfort for God's people in life and death. That the gospel of free grace is unconditional for the chief of sinners. Because they remain the chief of sinners. Paul said that after grace, after received grace, I am the chief of sinners. Look, of course, this doesn't mean that the law shouldn't be preached anymore. No. The law makes place for the gospel. But, listen, the gospel don't need the law. The gospel gives what the law requires. And do you know what happened to Jacob? Well, he was asleep. And grace was given him unconditionally. Now, what had Jacob done for his salvation? What? Nothing at all. And when God bestows grace, beloved, it is a sovereign work of free grace. It is sovereign grace. And do you know what Jacob could say at battle? There he could say, "Man, if I have a mediator, what else do I have to do?" Yeah. Yeah, God's people grows in Christ, that's true, but it was a penuel that Jacob knew himself better, as a deceiver, than the Lord asked to him, "What is your name?" Jacob. And what means Jacob? What means Jacob? Deceiver. Now then Jacob died to his conversion, and he was given to live by faith of the Son of God, so that Christ became his conversion. That's plural. But his state, Jacob's state, was already established at Bethel, mind you. For there Jacob believed in God who justifies the ungodly. When? At Bethel? Yes. In the time as far as the application is concerned, for his state was fixed already in eternity past. For it says, you know, do you ever read, beloved, about God's election? Then you must read Romans 5 verse 6, where it says, "For men, we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's election. And that is the ground of salvation. When the church was still dallying in sins, Christ had already died for them. Yes. So those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life get to experience a battle in time, just like Jacob. Yeah, there are people who say, "I live by faith, but nothing ever happens." That is a dead faith. And with this kind of faith, you will perish forever, beloved. Jacob, in Jacob's dream, there was not only a ladder. No.
That was a life. That was a living faith. The angels goes up and down. And do you know
what a life of faith is, beloved? To perish and be saved time and again. To perish and be saved through Jesus alone. Through the revelation of Jesus.
And such a faith Jacob had learned to know.
Yeah, look. God's people before regeneration are broken down in works. The Lord's elected people get completely stuck, so that the end of the law, Christ, will be revealed. Because Christ is the beginning of regeneration and of justification. And therefore, beloved, the Lord wants you to come as you are, unbelievers, ungodly, loveless, without feeling, hostile, hateful, untruthful, fearful.
Look, that's what you will realize when the law comes in. So that as a totally lost sinner, you cry out, lost, lost, forever lost. And then you fall down at Christ's feet. Now that is unconditional, isn't it? And that is the happiest day of your life, beloved. And then you have become what you already were, only before that discovery you didn't know this. Eh? But you were an enemy of God, if you believe it or not. Now, who are reconciled with God? Friends? You should read the epistle to the Romans well. For in Romans 5 verse 6 it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That were enemies. We are enemies. Christ made himself surety for his whole elect church, which he would redeem with his own blood in the time. And secondly, the church will know that true faith and is assured of her state in the court of conscience. And that is the way in which God reconciles his people. Only believe in him who justifies the ungodly, and you will be saved. And somebody says, is it that easy? Well, it is not easy, it is impossible. Because God doesn't do difficult things, but only that which is impossible. And that goes automatically or not at all. For a natural man, it is impossible to believe. For nature doesn't teach this. No. Our carnal nature is dead to all that is grace. Christ has to come and to speak. For it says, "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live." That is regeneration. That is justification. That is forgiveness of all sin. Yeah. And when Jacob had nothing but a stone, God speak to stones. "For of stones God is able to raise up children unto Abraham." Lost sinner in our midst, Christ has the keys of hell and death. And he has the key of your dead heart. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand has the key of David. Not the devil, the Lord Jesus has the keys. Lost soul in our midst, take heart. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And Christ waits that he may be gracious, for his name is Jesus. Jesus stood in Jacob's place, Jacob the deceiver, and Jesus in the place of deceivers, Jesus in the place of enemies. So Jacob was justified in battle by a true faith. Battle, we have said it already, battle is a type of justification. And then Jacob, now I hear the question, but what type is Phnuel then? What is the type of Phnuel then? Now, Phnuel, beloved, it is a type of a second conversion. And we would explain that when the Lord willing, that we preach that story. At Phnuel. Then Jacob sacrifices a sacrifice of gratitude. At Bethel. And he poured oil on the stone because Jacob heard Christ singing in his heart by the Holy Spirit. How I love thy law, she is my meditation all the day. And is that our experience too, beloved? If not, then you are in a terrible danger of hell. I have no advice, but I have what to say. Lay down on the ground before God as a lost sinner and cry to Christ for mercy and forgiveness, because his name is Jesus. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 68, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 68. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight. In conquest shall he quell them. Let those who hate him scattered flee before his glorious majesty, for God himself shall fell them. What follows in the stanzas 1 and 2, Psalm 68. let us finish with prayer. Lord, we have heard about Jacob's flight and about his dream in battle. And thou appeared to Jacob in a dream when he was in the darkness of his existence. And Lord, that he may know our darkness, because the sun is already set by our deep fall in Adam. And that we may come to the light of the world, like Jacob have got, by free grace. O Lord, establish thy covenant among us, because it is in the line of generations that thou will establish thy covenant, not because of us, but because of thy begotten Son. And that generation goes from Abraham to Isaac, and from Isaac to Jacob, until thousand generations further. O Lord, we belong to thy covenant people, because we are blessed in the seed of Abraham. But if we remain outwardly covenant children, that will be our own fault. Because thou hast said, I have not spoken in the secret. In a dark place of the earth, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I am Jehovah, speaking righteousness, declaring things which are right. O Lord, that we may seek thee, and to be found by thee, because we cannot find thee. The lost sheep cannot find thee. But that we may seek thee, to be found by thee. And that will be an eternal miracle of free grace. Be with us in the coming week. Keep us from accidents and sin. And take reason out of thyself to look after us, to take care of us in Christ. And then we will rejoice thee forever. And we pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Savior, and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.